time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM, country and barbecue with a twist. Wherever you are, all over this great state of Michigan or across the world, because our podcast is catching on and we find out that there's a lot of people everywhere, and we appreciate that. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, buddy. Struggling. I'm trying to get over a cold.
Let me slide down a little bit the opposite direction. Small studio, big germ fest here.
It knocked me down about a week ago and went away.
Yeah.
Then it came back a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So now I've got the family medical team on it.
Yeah, exactly.
My sister, I
met some of the medical team of yours.
Yeah. My sister-in-law Jenny is good at pharmaceutical cocktails, so she's got me on a regiment that's really taking care of it.
Good, man. That's great. But Happy New Year, everybody out there. I think this is the first time you might have been hearing our voices in the year 2023.
Lucky.
I think there's a lot of opportunity, and we're going to have a lot of fun in 2023. And we, like I said, we appreciate you tuning in and joining us for this hour of power where we address what's cooking. So since the last time I talked to you, tried a little ice fishing. We got all that snow. There was like two or three days of ice, and my buddy Chaz Thompson, the Baritone of beer, but he's also a Michigan ice guy and a USA ice fishing team. So you go to Chaz when you want to go ice fishing.
And walk behind him. If he doesn't go through, you're okay.
Right. Well, and that's what I was going to say is that, you know, we've had all this, well, the snow's gone where we are, and so is the ice. And so it's really not an issue today, but as we get nights in the teens, the lakes will freeze over again. And I wanted to go with, because talking with Chaz, there was three things for ice safety that he was talking about, and I just wanted to mention them because I ended up not going because these things failed, okay? And one of them specifically was the first one. And while it is you jest that you follow your buddy out, Chaz is a bigger guy than me, so yeah, you want to be behind him, but then what happens if he goes through? Then you got to help him, right? And that did not happen. I don't want anybody to think it did, but
just go get help.
No, there's three things. And this came from Chaz. It didn't come from me, but I thought it was worth repeating. Three things you need to bring is a spud, and that is a metal rod with a sharp end on it. Every couple steps, pop it on the ice in front of you, and if it goes through, then you turn around and go back out, right? It won't put you through generally, but it'll give you an indication of how thick the ice is, because that's a tool that people use to actually cut a hole in the ice. The second is bring a parachute cord or some kind of cord in your pocket about 30 feet long and have a little metal like carabiner clip on either end. The only reason you need the clip is it puts weight on the end of that rope. So if the person in front of you does fall in and you and your buddy both have one, you throw it across the hole, drag it back, and you can pull them out, and you don't have to get near where they fell through in order to help them out, right? You can back away towards the shore. And both of you carry one, because if it happens to either one of you, then the rope is there. And the third one is then always fish with a buddy. Don't ever go out alone, on early ice especially. I mean, sometimes you can't have a buddy, but if you do those three things, you got a better chance that if you did fall through that you'll have a positive outcome, literally and figuratively, and get back to safety.
That's a good idea.
No fish worth swimming for. Not a one.
So, speaking of Chaz, he used to brew beer for Schmoes.
Right.
And we had Jim, the founder, on last weekend.
Right.
So, New Year's Eve at, I don't know, 2, 3 o'clock, I went down to Schmoes because I could not stand the thought of that Russian stout not having tasted it. So I went and had a glass,
okay,
and brought a growler home. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating, but I'm pretty sure it's the best stout I've ever had.
Is there a flavor profile to it?
I would call it mild. To me, it wasn't Russian stout, but it's called a Russian Imperial Stout, but they call it Anastasia, and it was so smooth and so tasty. I dare you to have one glass.
Yeah?
I dare you.
And that's at Schmo's there on 28th Street north of Patterson in Grand Rapids.
Our sponsor, full disclosure, which just gives us more reason to go there because, you know, you want to support those who support you.
Right.
But I'm telling you, dude, Jim and Lori were both there. I actually had to do a U-turn to go back there because I thought I didn't see their cars, and I thought, I'll keep going by. So I got to Burton, and I turned around right in front of everybody. I cut across traffic, and I said, I have to try this. And, if you like stouts, I'm telling you, go in there, go to Schmo's, and try their new, I think it's called Anastasia. But anyway, we have a quiet house again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, is that a blessing or not?
A
little bit of both.
It's just the way it is.
Right.
The way it is.
So it's fun to have the kids home.
Oh, yeah.
We had a, you know, many of you that are listening probably had issues with getting to places where, if you were in West Michigan anyway, we had a blizzard over the holiday, and you didn't get where you needed to go on the day you needed to go. And mine was, I usually blessed with spending Christmas Eve with Bob and his family. And it's just a riot and a joy, and we pushed that off to between Christmas and New Year's because of the weather. Uh-huh. But I was so glad that we were able to do it. And later in the show, we'll talk a little bit about the menu that Bob put together, and it was funny. I got a little anecdotal story about it, but it's cool.
Oh, think I put the menu together.
Anyway, it was the menu we had, but it was kind of cool. So because we did a best of around the Christmas time, and then we were here last week. But what did you do? Any holiday food? Did you do any holiday food over the last couple weeks that are worth talking about?
Well,
we're not going to talk about later in the show.
We can later. But I wanted to tell a little story about my son-in-law Matt. They live in Knoxville. They have the twins. He turned 40.
Right.
So his brother-in-law, who we know very well, threw him a surprise birthday party. And, of course, 60, 70 of us showed up there.
It wasn't one of your kids?
And it really surprised him.
Oh.
Emily and him pulled it off perfectly, so Matt never had a clue. A lot of people were involved, and it didn't leak out. So my niece and nephew, niece and her husband, came up from Cincinnati because they hang out with Emily and Matt all the time. And so we used Drew as a decoy to get Matt out of the house so we could get everything ready to take over to the party spot, which is on Murray Lake. Big, beautiful house, big garage. It was very cool. So by the time Drew got Matt there, they had made several stops.
Right.
So they were feeling very, very good. And Drew in particular felt better than maybe anybody.
Oh.
So I sort of broke the ice. Speaking of breaking the ice, a bunch of us are standing outside because it was a nice night, and we had a fire. He had one of those solo stoves out there, and we were just having a great fire, and it was all guys. And I said, I think we're going to call that the bathroom because it was dark out, you know. And I went around the side of the garage and did that routine. Well, that started a little bit of a trend, and apparently Drew decided to do it right after we left. Drew decided to do it, and when he went back there, he tripped on something, and he fell and hit his eye on a rock. He fell hard.
Oh.
He must have been walking too fast, but he's just the sweetest guy you'd ever want to meet. He works for he takes care of special needs kids, and he's one of those just giving people. And he went down. He dislocated his shoulder. He got a huge gash on his eye that he had to get stitched up. And then he's got like this infection now in his eye because the local hospital in Grand Rapids just couldn't seem to deal with it fast enough. They didn't do the right thing. So he went down to Cincinnati and got treated. But, talk about a mess. This guy's a mess.
Well, you got to be careful.
Wow. Yeah.
When you imbibe and you, are partying, that's one of those things.
That sounds like a deer camp story.
Well, it kind of does, but it's too bad that it happened. But anyway, hopefully nobody in your world out there had a similar consequence, because that's no good. But coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the food we had over the holidays that you might want to try to recreate. You're listening to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on Jethro FM and grillingguys.com and anywhere else you can find us. But when we were in the last segment, we were talking a little bit about some of the food that you might have had over the holidays and some of the stuff that we've done. And again, the weather kind of precluded some of our get-togethers. I'm sure it did with you as well, but I got out to Barbecue Bob's between Christmas and New Year's. It's normally a Christmas Eve thing. And because it was a get-together, but nobody really wanted to work real hard, it was like, let's do a hot dog bar, right? And that was kind of cool. And Bob makes some Coney sauce that is really unique, but really good and authentic. And I thought maybe you'd want to cover that.
Yeah, and I've since perfected it. I was not happy with that.
See, I thought it was really good.
No, it wasn't. I mean, thank you. So the recipe, typically, if you look, if you talk to the Greeks in Detroit that make it.
Right.
Because all those places, those Coney shops are either Lebanese or Greek, right? They use, and so does Kowalski and Kogel that make the bulk. I think Kowalski is one of the biggest brands that makes that sauce. You buy it in a giant stick and you slice off a chunk of it. You warm it up, you put a little water on it and melt it down, and it just turns into a sauce. It's wonderful. Right. You don't have to do this.
Right.
You can just buy it. And all the butchers around Detroit sell it. The nice butcher shops, the Sobeys of Detroit. So, but you know, I always want to play around with recipes, and I was intrigued when I learned that it was beef heart from Kogel when he was on the show. And so I always end up with a lot of beef hearts in my freezer. I don't know why.
One per cow, I'd assume.
So, yeah, I still have one left, but I think what Randy wanted to tell the story of is me grinding up that beef heart and my wife putting her nose up. Is that what you were?
Well, that and the fact that it does it turned out really well. It was good. And the thing is that you can make it at home or you can buy it. But generally, when you make it at home, it's better, right? If you got a good recipe. And I know you do.
And you don't have to have beef heart, so you can substitute ground beef for this. But it's really, I think it's pretty simple. But I've been stealing from different recipes for a couple of years, and I think this one's dialed in because my favorite is Lafayette Coney, downtown Detroit. You ever been there?
I have.
Yeah. I have been there too, yeah.
And they have an ongoing competition with the shop next to him. His brother is National Coney. So those two are going at it all the time. But Lafayette, for our family, is hands down the winner. And you can stand in the window and watch the old guy is probably 75 that's grilling the dogs, and he has a giant flat top, and he puts, you know, a row of 20 on there, another row of 20, and he just keeps rolling them with his hand, you know, and he just rolls them over a little bit, and then they're done. He's got the big spatula. He gets them all up. He'll line his hand with, like, these little Coney sleeves, the cardboard sleeves, and he'll put a bun in each one, and he'll just put hot dogs on each one so he can get like six or seven on his little alligator arms.
Right.
So you could do eight.
Right.
And it's just fun to watch. And then he puts the sauce on all of them, and the guy's just, he's a machine.
Well, he's been doing it forever.
Yeah. But it's called Lafayette Coney. It's fantastic if you ever get down there. And all you need to put on it is onions and mustard.
Yep.
It's all it needs. Well, anyway, I have tried to simulate that sauce because it's a little I like having a little sauce with it. The stuff I made was more of like the, what everybody else makes. That's just sort of a little drier. And I like to have that messy sauce all over the thing, so you have to eat it with a fork and knife, you know? And you don't have to put cheese on it or anything like that, just a little onion and mustard. But it calls for this recipe, and I'm going to post it. It calls for a chopped onion, chopped garlic. So what I do is I chop up the onion, garlic, and a little bit of celery, and I saute it in just a little bit of EVO. And then you put in your ground beef or beef heart if you happen to have some.
But it's ground.
Yes.
Yep.
Double grind on the beef heart.
Finer grind.
Double grind. Yep. And a little ketchup, some chicken stock, paprika, lemon juice, Worcestershire, some chili powder. This is really it's evolved. Black pepper, cumin, allspice, mustard, salt, oregano, and just a touch of clove.
Okay.
And I'll have all these very concise measurements at thegrillingguys.com sometime this afternoon. But this, I will bet you dollars to donuts, if you like Coney's and you follow my instructions here, you will love it because it's dialed in now, finally.
Right. And a good Coney. Have a party. It's a make it as you want.
It's so
kind
fun.
Of thing.
It was
a lot of fun.
Because I mean, if people don't like Coney's, maybe they just want a regular hot dog, or maybe they just want a chili dog, or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe a tofu dog.
So a lot of people are trying to eat a little healthier around the holidays here, and it's a resolution or whatever. This one's probably not in that category. Is what I'm going to tell you. But I'm not saying the hot dogs. I'm saying about the recipe that I'm about to do
now,
real quick. It is skinless, boneless chicken thigh. So that sounds like, okay, that's a good start. So I put that in the pellet grill. I seasoned it up with whatever seasoning you like. I have one that comes from Badia. It's called a Seasonal.
Yep.
And it's just a really good all-purpose seasoning.
And that's Badia.
Right. Yeah, that's the brand name. And then it's their Seasonal version.
Not the tropical?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. And so cover it with that, put it on the pellet grill, and basically got it done, okay? And I put enough seasoning on there, it's a little bit crusty, because I took it off, put it in an 8x8, I had two of them, 8x8 cooking dish, right, baking dish. On top of that, I had, and while it was smoking, I went in a skillet, and I put a block of cream cheese, okay, but I did the low fat. And before I did that, excuse me, I sauteed diced jalapeno and red onion in a little bit of olive oil and put a little garlic in there and sauteed that up. And when I got that done, I put the brick of cream cheese in there and I busted it up in little pieces so it would melt. So I made like a sauce out of it. And then I took a half a cup of wing sauce, like the Red Hot.
Yep.
It's the wing sauce. And mixed that in with the cream cheese, put the chicken breast in the baking dish, put that cream cheese over the top, and then took some pepper jack, shredded cheese on top of that, and threw it in the oven for about another half hour, just a 300-degree oven, and let that all come together.
So did you smoke the thighs before this?
No, I did them on the pellet grill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a little smoke on them from the pellet grill,
yep.
Exactly. But so all that was, it's almost like a casserole now because the breasts are covered in that sauce. Just let the shredded cheese on top come to a melt, like I said, about a half hour in a 300-degree oven. Took that out, and oh my goodness, was that good. It was like buffalo chicken casserole, and it was just something that my wife whipped up, the idea. So I said, oh, let me give that a run, and we put it together. But
so you could put that on a bun and have a nice chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it was. We just put it on a plate and cut it with a knife and fork.
Sure.
And I think I grilled up some asparagus that went with it.
Nice.
You know, but yeah, it was a good dish, and we really enjoyed it, and it was simple, right? I mean, five ingredients, and you're good to go. And it was kind of one of those things. I just pulled stuff out of the fridge to see what it would look like.
Sometimes that's best.
Yeah. So coming up next, we talked a little bit about smoked ham, but I think Bob's going to cover some results smoked pork chops. It's all smoked pork. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. We're barbecue with a twist here. And, you know, every year we come together and talk about a whole bunch of stuff. And this is the new year. And we're going to kick it off with some smoked meat. Imagine that. But you are listening to the Grillin' Guys, and that's kind of what we do. And barbecue, Bob. I think we talked about hams before.
Well, last weekend, right. I think I told the story of my future daughter-in-law getting the ham from her company
right.
up in Ludington. Well, so by the time I put this thing on the smoker, so this comes from Saunders in Custer, and it is a famous meat shop. It's gotten quite large, which is amazing. Custer, it's like out in nowhere. You know, it's Johnny's Bandstand, I think, is across the street from it, and that's closed. But it's on US 10, about, I don't know, 10 miles, 8 miles east of Ludington. And it's just a legendary meat shop. Well, their ham is fantastic. So she didn't know what to do with it, and she said, I think it has to be finished cooking or something. And I still haven't talked to Saunders to find out exactly what stage it is when you get those boxed hams. I'm pretty sure it's fully cooked, but it needed some more, in my opinion. So I slowed that thing down, put it on my cage, and I marinated it, and I basted it the whole while it was smoking. I think it was on for, oh gosh, I'm going to say 6 hours.
Okay, so step back just a second. You're Cajun. For those that don't know, what is that?
It's a charcoal grill.
Okay, so you're on a grill. You're not on a smoker.
I offset it.
Okay.
It's a nice big long coal bed, so I put it on the end, not over the fire. And I think I had to have that thing on for at least 6 hours, and I put my thermopen in it, and it was still only up to like 141 at the bone.
Right.
So I was like, okay, so it's time to go to bed. I want this thing done so she can take it home.
Right.
So I put it in the oven. I put foil on it. I packed it with brown sugar. Put foil on it.
So you got it in a pan. You kind of tented the pan with the...
I put the rest of the marinade in the bottom of the pan and a little bit of water. And I set the oven at 160.
Okay. A lot of ovens won't go that low.
Yep.
You've got a nice one that does, but you'd want it on low if you can't get 160.
You might get 170 on the average.
Yep.
Mine will go down to 150, but I wanted it to get to 165. And I know by the time it reignites and all that stuff starts and stops, they always bump over a little bit more if it's a gas oven. I'm telling you, dude, I pulled that thing out, and just the house smelled like heaven when I got up. It's like, oh, I want some eggs right now.
Yeah, right.
And you have to go to Saunders and get one of these. I'm telling you, I don't know what their magic is. Or maybe it's just an average, nicely done ham, and maybe the magic was all the stuff I did. I don't know, because Rob and I used to do hams years ago, but I don't remember ever feeling like, holy cow, this is the greatest ham I ever had. She texted me, so I sent it back home with her. She texted me, and this girl's a meat lover. She's a chemical engineer, like my son. And she said, oh my gosh, that ham was ridiculous. It is absolutely the best ham I've ever had in my life. Now, she's only 23.
Right.
So, but she's from the Commerce area, Walled Lake, Detroit area. They have ham there. I know she's had a lot of ham. She was, and I'm telling you, I was going to bring in a piece, and I got a late start this morning because I'm sick, and I was
going
to bring.
So I go hamless today. That's where we're going with that.
Well, right? I was going to bring
Conrad. He doesn't love us anymore.
I was going to bring it for Conrad, not you.
Well, I understand. So Conrad got the short end, not me, huh? Yeah, okay, I
it's
get it.
Because I'm a ham, is right. What you're telling me. Yeah.
No, because I know you like some pork.
Right. I do. Yeah. I do.
I'm telling you, dude, this thing was so tender and beautiful. Everybody I gave a taste to is just like, oh my gosh, and they're just piling it on. And it was huge. There's a lot of ham on it. We used to call them regulars.
Right.
I worked at Van & Brink's in college, and we called them regulars. And it's just a regular ham. You don't do anything
with
it.
It's the whole hind leg of the ham.
It is.
Or the hog that makes the ham. And basically, you brine it and smoke it.
Yeah, so... Yeah. It's worth your time to do something like this if you go to the right places, you can find these regulars intact, the whole thing, and you can do it yourself.
Right.
And the key is low temperature for a long time.
Yep. And the other thing is when you've got leftover ham, vac seal that stuff up, get the air off it, and it'll freeze. But every time you freeze ham, expect it to get saltier, because for whatever reason, when you vac seal a piece of that ham and you put it in that freezer, it intensifies that brine. And I don't know why. There's a scientific reason, I'm sure. But when that stuff freezes and it thaws back out, that ham is always like quite a little bit saltier than it is.
Figure,
and you might want to rinse it is where I'm going.
Figure that out and get back to us.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I probably should know before I bring crap like that up, right? But I don't. That's just fact of life stuff.
Well,
but.
So Sobey in particular and certain meat shops do a really good job with smoked pork chops. And now, like for Deer Camp, we always bring up my brother-in-law has this place by him down in Jonesville. It's actually closer to Adrian, but it's a giant meat shop. Guy does a lot of deer and everything, but his smoked pork chops are fantastic. So he always brings up a bunch to Deer Camp. And the nice thing about them is you can just throw them on a fire, brown them up a little bit, and they're ready.
Right.
And they're juicy. But so you can get, what I would tell you to do is to just buy a whole pork loin bone in and brine it.
Okay.
And I would say brine that thing for at least 24 hours.
Okay. And just salt, sugar,
salt,
water?
Salt, sugar, water, yep. Okay. Nothing special. And then put it on your smoker, on your grill offset, however you smoke, and bring that thing up to 145 in the middle.
Right.
Pull it off, wrap it, let it set. You can slice them up into individual pork chops, and then do Randy's trick of cryovacking them.
Right.
And put them in the fridge, put them in the freezer, whatever. But if you do a whole loin, and it's not expensive.
No, you're $4.95 a pound with the bone-in loin.
Is it that much?
Yeah, I think so now. Everything's up.
Oh.
But
still, and it's, that's cheap.
We didn't talk about this.
No.
And I'm gonna tell a little secret. A week from, on the 16th, whatever that is, a week from Monday, I'm headed over to a place in Ubley, the Thumb.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to do some bird hunting on a ranch. But we're getting there on Sunday before noon. Going to hunt on Sunday, spend Sunday night, Monday, hunt in the morning, and then come home. I'm going to make breakfast on Monday morning, and we're having smoked pork chops.
Well, I was just going to say.
And I've got that loin. We didn't even talk about this. This is not a setup. We didn't even talk about it, but I've got a whole loin, and that's why I know it was $4.95 a pound.
Oh, so you already bought one.
I bought one, and it's in the refrigerator, and I'm going to brine it.
It's in the refrigerator?
Freezer. It's in the freezer right now because I bought it ahead of time. But I'm going to thaw it out, brine it, and do exactly that, and then take them over there, and then just heat them up in an iron skillet for breakfast on Monday morning. That's like a couple weeks from now.
But, yeah.
Looking forward to that, because you're right. They're just absolutely fabulous, the way that they come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can slice them into nice thick chops with the bone.
Right.
You know, the bone will give you the depth.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing to see on a plate.
Right.
Because yep,
throw some eggs and hash browns with that. You can't beat it for breakfast.
Get
man.
A big plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Swear to God.
Yeah. And make some eggs and oh,
I'm so hungry.
My mouth water. Right.
Yeah.
Just talking about
yeah,
that.
That's, yeah. That's just a wonderful thing to do. And it's different.
Right.
You know, if you're a grilling guy, and you all are, you know, your friends kind of expect a little something out of you.
Right.
Step up your game.
Right. Exactly. And that's
it's easy.
It's a lot of fun, too. So coming up next in the next segment, we're going to continue this smoking. This is going to be something that you may or may not want to try because I think there's a little bit of technique to this, but you can smoke a pork belly and make your own bacon. And we're going to cover a little bit of that technique, maybe in depth.
I wonder if Conrad likes bacon.
Come on.
Especially wrapped around squirrel. I've seen him just... Yeah.
Here it comes. Welcome to the new year.
Well, year after year. But coming up next, we're going to smoke some pork belly. Your list of grilling guys, stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and John.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're going to talk a little about making bacon this segment. And
really making bacon, though, not the
other part of making bacon. So this thing takes a few steps to do. You may want to follow along. This is something that we have not posted yet on the Grilling Guys website, and we can, but this is a little bit of a detail deal. And look it up on the internet because basically the process is the same wherever you look, but we just wanted to cover it because
yeah,
it's something fun to do.
Yeah,
in the winter.
And full
right?
disclosure, I have smoked and grilled a million things, but Randy actually bought me a kit for brining your own bacon,
right,
or I don't know,
brining a pork belly.
You found it online or something, and it came with a pre-mixed seasoning blend.
Right,
it was really good, and I think it even had a little bit of the preservative stuff in it. You know, the pink magic.
Right.
So he kind of forced my hand to try it, and I had wanted to, but, you know, it's like one of those things, like, when Sobey's got such good bacon, why do I want to bother?
Right, exactly.
I'm telling you, you want to bother, because when you pull that fresh bacon off your smoker, if you have some meat mitts, put them on, slice it hot like that right there, and just try it right off the smoker. You don't even have to fry it. I mean, or you can cube it up. It's a fantastic dish.
Right. So to start with, you need to get a pork belly. If you're going to do this, go to your butcher and get one. They can be up to 10 to 12 pounds, so you're going to make a lot of bacon. But the first thing that you
look—that's the good part.
Oh yeah, the first thing that you look at is there's a skin on that, and it's because this is a pork belly. It is the skin is one side, and the bacon meat is the other. And
save the belly button.
Right. Yeah. And but you got to remove that skin, and it's kind of a fillet process. You'll see where the skin
yeah.
stops and the belly starts.
That's a good point. You do need a certain knife that's going to do a good job at taking that skin off without destroying that slab. So what I did to cheat and to make everything easier for me is I cut that belly into maybe three sections. So it made the brining easier because I found using a Ziploc bag was the nice way to brine it. And you have to flip it over every 12 hours.
Right.
So not wasting the brine and everything, that helped me out. And that will help you get the skin off. If
yeah.
You have about 8-inch section, you know, 10-inch segments.
Right. So, but keep that skin, because you can make what's called cracklins. And if we have enough time, we'll come back to that.
Or
and
a talk football.
About, right, yeah. But we'll come back to that because cracklins are a unique thing that if they're done right, they're really good. Pork rinds. You guys have all seen them in a bag at the party store or gas station.
Love
or
them. Love right. them.
And they're not that bad for you, really.
No. But when I've tried to make them, I didn't research. I just did what I thought it would be, and it just they were too crunchy. They were too. There's got to be a trick to getting them to fluff up like that, and maybe it's the temperature of your grease. I don't know. Yeah,
hotter oil and don't overdo them. I think, but we'll get to that. So you said you got to cure it. You got this raw piece of pork belly.
Insta-cure.
Right. Yep. That's what it's called, but you're going to brine it too because you want to get some flavor.
There's salt and sugar and water and Insta-Cure. And
right.
So that kit you got me, there was something else in there, and I wish I knew what was in there because I think it was the best bacon I ever ate in my life.
Well, it might have been because you made it.
Well, it might have been because they have some magic in that bag.
Yeah, exactly. So there again is that there are people that have done this thousands of times, and then they put out these products that really work.
Right.
Take advantage of that. And if you buy a brining kit for bacon, there'll be instructions in there, just like we're talking about, really. But I guess the point we wanted to make is take a chance on this. You're going to, you know, pork belly is, I don't know, $4 or $5 a pound. So you got a 40.
Yeah, if that.
You got a $40 piece of meat. You don't want to mess it up.
Randy's the guy to go to for prices because he's Dutch and he's always watching the prices.
Right.
Is that what they're up to now?
Yeah, right.
That's high.
Yeah, it is. But buy a pound of bacon. You know, I mean, it's up there. But anyway.
So is that something, if you see pork bellies on sale at Costco?
Okay.
Is that something you can buy and put in the freezer?
Yeah.
And then make your bacon later?
Right. Yeah, that'd be good.
Mm-hmm. So you could actually buy a pork belly, cut it up and do your cryovac trick, and just have a few on hand.
Right. So back to this cure. We've got it in the cure. You're going to leave it in there about 5 days.
Yeah.
Okay, and like Bob mentioned, you're going to want to turn it over. You put it in the refrigerator, so it's a controlled 40 degrees or whatever it is. You got the brine on it, and then flip it over every day. You got 4 or 5 days. You leave it in there 6 or 7. It ain't going to hurt it any. But you want to brine it because you're driving moisture into that bacon, and you're driving a little bit of flavor, whatever the profile is that you put on in that brine. So you get that done, and then you're going to take it out, and you're going to rinse it, okay? And throw away the brine. It's worth nothing.
Right. Trichinosis.
Right. But, I don't want to give that to even the dog. But what I'm saying is when you get it done brined after those days, you're going to open the package up, throw the brine away down the drain, and you're going to flip it over or rinse it off and let it dry.
Yeah.
Right? So then it comes to the time is we're going to smoke this stuff, right? And bacon especially is low and slow. You don't want it to be hot because you're going to cook it later. What you want to do is dry it out. And get a little bit of that smoky flavor on there. Now, there's any kind of woods that you can use on that to get a flavor. You'll see, you go to the store and buy pre-made bacon, you'll see stuff with hickory on it.
Very common.
You'll see stuff with maple on it. But whatever, apple wood, you'll see that too. What they all impart a specific smoke flavor.
And sometimes the producers will actually have a maple syrup in it. I don't like that.
I don't either.
That's
too sweet. And it really jams up your pan when you're cooking it.
And it just doesn't taste right. It tastes like something out of a factory.
Yep. It doesn't at all.
So when you put that in a smoker, would you put seasoning on it?
Well, you can if you want to.
But if your brine's salty enough.
Right. Well, yeah. But
I would put some cracked pepper on it.
Yep. And you could. And I think later in the smoke, you could put a little brown sugar on it. Our friends out at the grist mill out at Honey Creek, northeast side of Kent County, he makes this stuff called holiday bacon.
Yeah.
And that's his trick.
I know you like that.
Yeah, he sprinkles a little brown sugar on it in the last hour maybe to get a little crust on it. But you're not smoking this stuff high, and you're going to do about 170, 190.
Oh, you're taking all the fun out of it.
Right, yeah. But where I'm going is you want to get that internal temperature to about 150. And when you've got the bacon to that, and hopefully Santa Claus brought you a digital thermometer. If he didn't, go buy yourself a gift for the new year. If you don't have one,
yeah, go to our website. You can, on the right hand side, look for ThermoWorks. Click on their, the price is way down since we started promoting them.
Right, right.
I mean, they just get better and better.
Right. So you take that thing out when it's at 150 in internal temperature, and you let it rest at room temperature for on a baking rack just so the air can get all the way around it, and you're kind of drying it. And then after about 3 or 4 hours, I'm gonna wrap it in plastic wrap and refrigerate it overnight, okay? Now, what that's going to do is that's going to tighten that bacon up.
That's right.
And it's going to be a lot easier for you to slice. If you slice it when it's warm, it's a little bit rubbery. And unless you got a razor-sharp knife, you're going to get really inconsistent slices out of that thing. So that would be my tip, is put it in the wrap it up in cellophane, put it in the fridge overnight, slice it the next day, and you're going to have a lot better luck.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry again. How about you, Conrad? You ready for some bacon, buddy?
You know, I was thinking about the guys that got pellet stoves or special eggs or whatever over the holidays.
Yep.
I mean, they got to be tuning in going, wow, this sounds really good.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know how many guys got pellet stoves from their wonderful wives?
Oh.
Yep. A really good wife would get her husband something like that.
Yeah. Did you get one, Bob?
I have a really good wife. She doesn't have to, because I don't have room. I can't even put all my stuff in my new grill area.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's a whole other segment. But so anyway, there you go. We've got the bacon done, and it's overnight. You get it out. Again, we were talking about this during the break. Why do I like to make bacon is because now I can cut that any thickness I want, depending on what I want to do with the bacon. When it's chilled, I get a sharp knife. I can do it thin. I can do it thicker, whatever I like to do. And then you throw it in a pan and bring it up to temperature again and cook it and crisp it up a little bit. And then you
can cube it if you're doing like pork belly tacos.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yep. But either way, this still needs to be cooked. Where I'm going is you brought it out of the smoker, you got it to 150. You still need to cook it in a pan. Don't eat it like that.
To reduce the fat.
Right. Yep. Exactly. But that's bacon in a nutshell. Not really.
Or 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah, too much bacon. But anyway.
Never.
Go ahead. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each every week. Hey, be safe out there, and Happy New Year. We'll talk to you in a week.
Yeah.